Just what makes someone appear female? A transgender woman from Melrose has spent 20 years and thousands of dollars trying to figure that out. Now, at 71, Tammy Goodhue is close to matching the way she looks with the way she feels inside. But taking the next step places her smack in the middle of a controversy about what it means to make a medical gender transition. WBUR's Martha Biebinger has the story.
In second grade, back in 1953, Tammy Goodhue would sneak into a corner of the St. Mary's School playground in Melrose and make herself throw up.
I battled bulimia, anorexia. Every time I looked in the mirror at myself, I didn't see me. I saw something else and it made me sick.
Sick because she saw a boy named Jimmy. By ninth grade, Tammy was drinking to numb depression and that sense that she was living in the wrong body. While still presenting to the world as he, Tammy joined the Navy and then the Melrose Police Force, praying these jobs would help her look and feel more like a man.
If we had to kick down a door, I'd be the first one through the door because that's what I thought I was supposed to do to prove I was something that I wasn't.
Tammy cracked again and again under the weight of all that pretending. Breakdowns led to 7 psych ward commitments and 2 attempts at suicide. Then, in her early 50s, Tammy stopped trying to live as male. She bought a purple miniskirt and red lipstick. Amid the relief and emerging self-confidence, Tammy got a divorce. 3 of her 6 brothers and sisters stopped talking to her. But in Melrose...
We want to recognize you, right?
Mayor Rob Dolan stands in the city council chamber, flanked by dignitaries, to honor Tammy's 20-plus years of service as a Melrose police officer.
We're making history today in a lot of ways.
Dolan hands Tammy an ID with her female name and picture, Tammy in her red Dorothy Hamill wig.
In gratitude for all you have done for our community, we offer you this badge, Tammy M. Goodhue, retired Melrose police officer.
It's a big year for Sergeant Goodhue. In addition to the new ID, Tammy's changing her Melrose Hospital birth certificate from boy to girl. In March, on International Women's Day, she had surgery to reconstruct her genitals. Tammy's been on cross-sex hormone therapy for more than 20 years, has lasered smooth cheeks, is fond of gauzy blouses, and flashes bright red nails. Still, when she steps into a restaurant and asks for a table, Tammy often hears...
Right this way, sir. And it's devastating.
So Tammy is taking what she says could be the most important step in her physical transition, facial feminization surgery.
If it's going to help me pass as a woman that I am, it's my dream.
Okay. Let me show you what we do.
Dr. Jeffrey Spiegel is a plastic surgeon who specializes in facial feminization surgery at Boston Medical Center, where Tammy sits now in an examination room.
Do you mind if I touch your forehead?
Not at all. Go ahead.
Okay. This sort of ridge here that comes out, this is probably the most significant part of how we judge a person as male or female by looking at their face. What we do is we set that back.
Spiegel explains 3 more parts of the surgery he envisions for Tammy. A smaller nose, a more heart-shaped jaw, and a less prominent Adam's apple. These are common elements in an evolving practice. What's become facial feminization surgery today began in 1982, when a colleague in San Francisco referred a patient to Dr. Douglas Osterhout.
He said, I'm referring this patient to you. I want you to feminize her forehead. I said, okay. And I realized I had never thought about the difference between boys' and girls' skulls, period. Not even a tiny bit.
So Osterhout poured through books on physical anthropology and headed for a local dental school library.
They have a magnificent skull collection. It's an old skull collection. So I went and examined probably somewhere around 1,500 dry skulls.
And measured some consistent differences.
For example, the vertical height of the chin is 17% greater in the male than it is in the female.
Osterhout developed a series of similar calculations for the forehead, nose, and jaw. He devised surgical procedures that transformed more than 2,000 transgender women, one living skull at a time.
You would modify it, and it was fantastic what it did. I mean, you never saw such happy patients in your life. I mean, they look female.
There are no medical protocols that spell out how to reshape a transgender woman's face. That's one reason Medicaid and many private insurers do not cover facial feminization surgery. It's also expensive, in the range of $30,000. And insurers often claim that a nose job, resetting a forehead, or rounding a square chin are not medically necessary, they're cosmetic.
And that creates a bit of a hurdle in considering them not cosmetic for transgender women.
Dr. Josh Safer, who runs the transgender medicine program at Boston Medical Center, says some insurers do cover facial procedures for trans women, but non-trans women, who may also be distressed about their masculine-looking faces, still pay cash.
Mandating that you be transgender to get the surgery runs the risk of a discrimination issue in a different direction. And so that's exactly where the most fraught conversations are occurring right now.
These fraught conversations are part of a larger evolution in transgender medicine. For decades, genital surgery was the defining event for trans women. But that may have been a milestone imposed by medicine. Safer says about half of his transgender patients are pleased with the results of cross-sex hormones alone and do not seek surgery.
So I think we had that wrong, to be so genital-focused.
Safer's patients who do seek surgery want facial feminization about as often as other procedures. That's common in transgender clinics across the country, says Arizona University anthropology professor Eric Plemons.
A lot of what is most transformative for trans folks is not genital and chest surgery that has for so long dominated what we think of as trans medicine.
But rather the face, says Plemons, who interviewed dozens of trans women for his book out this year, The Look of a Woman.
The trans women that I worked with in the clinics would tell me over and over again, yes, maybe one day I'd like to have genital surgery, but what's going to change my life today is the way I look on the street.
Okay, so those are the procedures that we've been discussing.
Tammy's insurer will pay for the facial bone reconstruction procedures Dr. Spiegel plans to perform, but not enhanced lips, a chin lift, or cheek implants.
To say it's cosmetic, no, it's just something that I need so badly. I want to be who I am.
And be recognized as a woman, now after decades of hiding, pretending, and finally coming out. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Martha Biebinger.